We'd like to welcome each and every individual to the Vision Project. Hi, my name is Mark Borsma, President of Synergy Solutions. I'll be your executive coach for today's group coaching session. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. If you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. All right, Josh, you had a great question in the pre-show. Could you share that again?
The question was more directed towards, like, dealing with my son, but I suppose it could work with older people, too. Anyway, the question was, how do you deal with someone who doesn't quite get that what they're doing is wrong? Like, in the case of my son, you know, he's not old enough to talk or quite understand sometimes when he's doing something wrong. How do you work with that?
Okay, excellent, excellent. You did that beautifully. What we're doing is that statement escalates us to a very, very high level. Do you know what that high level is?
Not exactly, no.
Okay. A level so high that, a level so high that, it's a dangerous level, I believe. And after raising 7 children, it's a level I would not even want to be at. It's a level of confidence, tremendous confidence. Do you see where that is or not?
The confidence that we know that what we're doing is right, or that we're correcting that they're doing something wrong?
Well, no. No. The confidence that we know what they know. Because you had said in the question, you'd said, how do you correct somebody that doesn't really know that they're doing is wrong? I'm not so confident about that. I mean, no matter what the age is, I'm not confident. I know that what they know is right or wrong.
I guess the thing is I'm kind of getting from Josh is that like lately we've been having discipline issues with our son, and I'm pretty sure he knows what's wrong. The problem is nothing I'm doing seems to be working. And so I don't know if I should just keep trying that, or I'm kind of running out of ideas.
Sure, sure. So, Josh, I don't know that you and I will know if Danny is aware of what he's doing is wrong. So,
So the question on that, Mark, is, so case in point is this morning he went to grab a hot curling iron and narrowly avoided burning his hand. And when I told him no, he threw a fit, you know, as kids are wont to do, threw a fit and was all upset.
Okay. So in that situation, he understands, you know, no. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he understands no, but he didn't understand why what he was doing was wrong. So the question is, how do you impress that on him?
Well, see, what he does is he doesn't have trust of Dad. He doesn't trust. He knows that no means no. That's why he threw a fit. If he didn't know what that meant, he would have had no response. But what he does is his will, now he's starting to think at the ripe old age of 18 months that he knows more than Dad. And he wants to do what he wants to do. And when Dad says, no, that's not going to happen, he's not happy. He is not a happy camper, and he wants to do what he wants to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, the question is, maybe, is, Mark, should I let him touch the curling iron?
Could you repeat that again? Sorry.
Sure. The question might be, is should I let him touch a hot curling iron? Now that's
my wife
a hard question.
She doesn't learn.
What's that?
My wife just brought up the point that he doesn't learn.
Oh, he will learn. The thing is, at what price does he learn?
Well, there's been challenging things where he's doing things we told him not to do, and I've allowed him to fall and crash and do it. And he'll do it 10 times in the exact row and continue to cry and hurt himself, but yet he doesn't seem to get the fact, doesn't connect it, or he just chooses not to.
Right. And that's an amazing thing about,
he's nearly missed stitches and concussions and everything else because I've allowed him to fall, and he still isn't learning.
Right. And so he'll learn eventually. I mean, it's amazing that any male ever lives through toddlerhood, because it's like they're just walking disasters, and so they're a lot more resilient. They're a lot more resilient than most parents, especially moms in most situations. You know, moms want to protect them. Dads often say, let him die. It's not always the case, but he'll be fine. And so he will learn. If he touches a hot curling iron, I can assure you, he will not probably do that again. So obviously, like electrical outlets, okay, there's no room for mistakes there. Curling irons?
Yeah, well, that's one of his new fantasies lately, is he loves electrical outlets. And he's actually scared himself once or twice because he plugged something in that was really loud and it startled him, and he still did it several times.
Yeah, and so there's stuff that you just don't make a mistake on because it can kill them, and so electrical outlets are one of those, so you don't let them learn on that. Curling irons, wow. Yeah, that's a tough one. You'd hope that he'd just burn his hand, you know, bad enough to learn the lesson, rather than grab that thing and have his skin melt to the curling iron. And so, yeah, that's a tough call, Josh and Ginger Ann. You try to go ahead. It sounds like you are, Ginger Ann, and letting him fall, letting him fail, letting him crash. Because as he gets older, it's just going to get worse.
Oh, I let him fall quite frequently. That's the problem. Because often people look at me like, aren't you going to do something? I'm like, no, otherwise I'd be on my toes all day long running after the child.
Right.
The problem is that, you know, soon we're going to have another little boy running around. And I'm concerned that some of his antics are going to end up hurting his brother seriously.
Yeah, I used to be afraid of that, too, with the older ones, bad choices. But the thing is probably the second one probably is not going to be like the first one. The second one might be cautious. And then they can, you know, as a baby, it's a little dangerous. I wouldn't get too much out in front of that situation, I don't think.
I'm just worried about him picking something up and throwing at his little brother.
yeah, that can. And that's where, you know, that's where you guys as a couple decide how much, you know, what kind of discipline, how severe is it? Is it corporal discipline? You know, all of those type of things. Those are not easy decisions to, you know, those are not easy choices for a parent to make without question.
He just seems like he's got a very, very, very strong will, and I know it's partially because his parents both have strong wills. So I know that he's fighting that one, but it's just hard because it's like I've tried a lot of different things in order to try to corral that thing, and it's not seeming to work. So I don't know if it's just his age and it'll eventually turn off a little bit down, or if I should just keep trying what I'm trying.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, at some point, you know, at some point, every one of the three boys hit, you know, their mother, my wife. And so at some point, I think the dad steps in, you know, whenever he can to install corporal punishment, some type of punishment that's very much man-to-man. This stuff doesn't happen. The key is to always make sure that you don't discipline him. Whatever you're doing, you don't discipline him in anger or out of frustration, because that takes so much of the benefit away, most of the benefit, and can actually harm the situation. Josh, did you have any other follow-up? you're in a difficult situation.
No, I think that that helps think through some of the things. So the interesting thing is taking that the next step further is if you're trying to apply that same principle to adults, sometimes choosing your battle and letting them reap the repercussions of their own actions will cause them to self-correct without you doing it. The question is wisdom to figure out what they should or shouldn't do.
Right. Right. And then the other thing is you know, as a like as a spouse, you know, the choices I make impact my wife, the choices she makes impact me. Anytime somebody can pay for their own choices, that I have found always to be a much better learning experience. If somebody else has to clean up after us, we don't learn. When we have to have the full impact of our own choices, that tends to help to us to learn much faster. But yeah, same principle applies. And it's not easy. And every child is different. Every family is different. There's a bunch of different combinations. Great question. Chris, what would you like to accomplish today?
I had a question about upset customers. Like in business, there's always going to be mistakes from time to time. What's the best way to approach a customer that's just upset?
Yeah, sure. Great question. If you can go through the personality certification, that will help you tremendously to identify their personality. And so each of the different personalities will get upset for very different reasons. And so you typically, ideally, want to approach them based on their personality. So the analytical and the way you'd identify them is they're often, you know, very meticulous. They're upset because something wasn't done properly. So if something's not done properly in order, that creates pain for them, and they get very upset. You know, with both the analytical and the driver, you just don't say there's mistakes made because, you know, they just don't. That, you know, anyways. So with the analytical, it's even if it's a little tiny mistake, for the analytical, it's a huge mistake, and they think, you know, they think that if you can make a mistake with one thing, you can make a mistake with the other, and you lose all trust if you've made just one mistake with them. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
So what you do is you apologize and say, wow, I can't believe that mistake was made. You know, in financial services, it's one penny off on $1 million. It's like, I can't believe we made that mistake. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We'll get that fixed. And so you acknowledge it to the analytical, and then you seek to correct it, and then you go back and say, let me check and make sure no other mistakes were made, if it's appropriate. For the driver, what's going to cause them to be angry and upset is when things are out of control. So if something's out of control, you go ahead and you'd approach that and say, it seems like things are out of control. So they're aggressive in your face, loud, voice boisterous. They're going to get in your face, and you say, wow, it seems to me that this situation is totally out of control because of us, and I think we ought to take this and this and this step. Do you think that will correct the situation? What they're looking for, in a way, the driver is, in a way, the hardest one to deal with. They're the most often the most aggressive, and they're the most ready to just take your head off and go to the owners, the boss, the leader. And so they just absolutely are going for your jugular probably right away. And so in a way, they're the hardest, but in the way, they're the easiest, because if you help them gain control, then they'll be fine again. So you acknowledge the control issue's been lost. It's our issue. This is, I think, our plan. This is our plan to gain control again. Does that make sense? And if they say that's not going to work, you say, wow, appreciate that feedback. What would you suggest? And then the expressive, the wavy line, they're the ones that are really, they hate when things are boring or not fun, or they're just drama queens or kings. And so they just love the energy of all the drama. And so you just kind of go along with it. If you can make them laugh, you know, that's even better, or they may start laughing. Again, the analytical and driver, they would not do that. And then the amiable, they don't like the conflict. And so, you know, they will tend not to create conflict. They will tend not to be upset. But if you've hurt them or hurt somebody around them, they can be very, very vicious. But they'll tend to go under you. They'll go underneath you, not directly at you. If you had a specific situation, I could go ahead and address that more specifically. As an overall big picture, that's what it is.
No, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. That actually helps me out a lot.
Cool. Anything else you'd like to accomplish today?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Teresa, what would you like to accomplish?
I'm struggling to word a question, but how do I make sure that I balance things in life to avoid forgetting and messing up the simple things that are right in front of me?
I'm thinking.
If that makes sense.
I mean, it's kind of multitasking and being able to. Probably what you do is get rid of your concern for people because it creates a distraction against the task. If it's a task that's in front of you or a task that you need to do, get rid of what people are feeling about that task. It's, you know, and just focus on the task and doing, okay, I got this, I got this, I got this, I get this. It connects back into the the linking of things that Alan Stein has been talking about a lot. It may be creating a task list that you write, you know, that you go ahead and say, okay, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this that I need to do. So it may be doing that and keeping up with that.
I do that.
What triggers the question?
One, I don't think maybe I misworded it. It's not so much just the task, because it's, like, lately I feel that there's so much going on that, like, I forget or something slips that I would almost never let happen before.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So.
Exciting?
No,
celebrate.
It's not. Because
celebrate, trust me. Like, celebrate that. Take a moment to celebrate.
Okay.
So you have to take a moment to celebrate. High five it.
That's what I'm celebrating.
You're celebrating the fact that, you know what? You're about ready to break a breakthrough to a new dimension. You're celebrating the fact that, hey, you're a human. You're celebrating the fact that, you're a little more humble now. You know, you're celebrating all of those things. So, you know, today in the coaching call, we talk about me almost never being late, I'm a minute and a half late because I'm an expressive. Katrina went ahead and brought up, she says, aren't you supposed to be on a call? I was 3 minutes late, 3.5 minutes late. Now, I could become really defensive about that and defend my position, but it wouldn't help me to learn. So I'm going to celebrate and say, wow, that's a great thing. So, yeah, if something almost never happens, and it happened, you're moving to a new dimension. And that's a time to celebrate. And then you take it really serious and say, oh, this could have very significant ramifications. So after you celebrate, then you go ahead and say, okay, how am I going to make sure that in this new dimension with these new things going on, how am I going to make sure that this doesn't happen? Or when it does happen, how am I going to go ahead and mitigate the consequences of that?
I feel feel like it has to be more the latter because I really, just don't realize it. Like, I mean, I was 15 minutes late for something and I never do that.
Right.
And it just hit me randomly and I don't know why I can't all of a sudden keep up with things. And it's,
again, celebrate. You gotta learn to celebrate. You're moving. You're gonna have more and more of those opportunities to mess up. So how do I go ahead and celebrate it? I'm moving. I'm growing. Very unusual. You know, people will tend to give you a lot of grace if it's unusual, and you're much harder on yourself, which you should be. But celebrate the new breakthrough in the dimensional thing. You have to celebrate. You have to. Because otherwise you take it too serious. And what you'll do is, probably what you're doing is you're focusing on other things that you're not so good at. And so your bandwidth is significantly increased. And so hopefully you've got a strong enough system around you. Hopefully you've invested enough emotional bank account. Hopefully you've got, you know, in most situations you will be able to clean that thing up and it'll be fine and you'll get stronger as a result of it. Don't take things too serious and don't take things not serious enough. And you're talking about a driver here. I mean, so driver analytical, they don't celebrate mistakes, but it's important to do that. Does that make sense?
I guess, yeah.
So you can either be like Danny and he gets to choose, does he trust his dad or does he not? You can trust me or not. That little celebration keeps life in perspective. Okay? You know, it keeps life in perspective. You can't take things too serious, and you can't take them not serious enough. It's the balance between the two. And you're taking it too serious. Pretty sure. Which could take away energy from things that you should be taking serious that you're not. Make sense?
Yep.
Cool. All right. Melissa, what would you like to accomplish?
How do you fix things that are, or try to fix things that are out of your control?
Well, the question is you look at your role, and I have a little extra time today because my China call has been moved back an hour. And so if you guys need to take off, you're free to do so. Thanks so much for being on. If you have a little extra time, you know, you're free to stay on as long as, you know, we want to stay on today. So appreciate, you know, you guys being dedicated and being on. Great questions today, too, all across the board. I think, Melissa, the thing that you look at is you look at your role and you say, in my role, is, you know, in the role that I'm in, is this something that I should be controlling? And so, and if I shouldn't control it, can I influence it? So you always look at your role in life, your role in situations, your role in relationships. And you look at your roles and you say, see, what people do is they try to control things they shouldn't, and then they don't have energy to control the things they should. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I think, as I look back on my life, that's probably, I think, a real gift that, you know, God has given me, I think. You know, I was not impressed with myself at the time, but when I look back, I'm impressed. I'm like, wow, that was, you handled that pretty good. Now, maybe I did and maybe I didn't. But when I think about, you know, working for, I don't know, 4 years to go into the accounting program at Northern Illinois University, my whole life was planned out. Everything was mapped out. Everything was in order. I made tremendous sacrifice, worked really hard. I had, you know, like a grandma. She was like a grandmother to us. She's the one that took me out to Northern, showed me around. Her daughter had graduated. She had high hopes. I had in-laws that had high hopes of me being a CPA. A lot of people, I was married. I mean, everything was going along, and all of a sudden, you know, I didn't pass the test after 4 years of working at it. And then what I did is then I went ahead and I'm like, okay, I guess that's not going to happen. And I didn't, it's like, as I remember it, I was like, oh, that stinks. Oh, well, what's my plan B? And my plan B was to go ahead and be, go into finance. I'm like, it's not as good as accounting, but it's a pretty good degree. I'll go into finance. Well, I hit my first mass lecture class, and I had to get a C in that class to go ahead and, get in to go into the College of Finance. And I'm telling you, I could not figure any of this stuff out. And there's nobody mentoring me. I mean, I had nobody mentoring me. Well, Mark, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try this? I mean, I'm on my own. And I am dying in these classes. I mean, just getting massacred. I mean, I couldn't. So what I did is I tried one route. That didn't seem to work. I tried another route. That didn't seem to work. I tried another route. When I look back, I'm like, why didn't I give up? Quit. And it's like, well, you never get anywhere in life. I mean, if I'm going to fail, at least I'm going to fail giving it 110%. So I have no regrets. I don't want to regret anything in life. And the way to not have regrets is to give 110%. So you can. So, I mean, now 30 years later, I have no regrets, none whatsoever. I gave it 110%. And so... And that was right after the finance degree was right after the accounting failure. So I'm building on, I have one failure, now I'm setting up for another failure. And I'm like, I'm going into the final exam, which is 75% of the grade, with a D. I had failed every other exam. And I'm like, well, I'm going to give 110%. Go into the lead professor, and I was in there. I'm always, because I'm like, if I'm going to go ahead and fail the class, maybe the teacher can help me. But they couldn't. It's like nothing they did help, but I kept going back. And he said to me, never forget, he said to me, he says, well, Mark, the big final is, I said, yeah, I really need to get a C in this class. I got a strong D. He said, what are you doing over the holiday weekend? I'm like, I'm studying for this test. What do you think? And he's like, okay, go to my RA and get an example of last year's test. Well, the last three exams that he had, we had examples of the last, you know, of the last year's test, and it didn't do me a bit of good. I mean, not a bit. I studied them, and it didn't help at all. Nothing. And so so I'm thinking, Mark, why would you waste the whole weekend? I could have had a defeated attitude. You know what? I'm just going to – I mean, it's not going to do any good. It hasn't done any good. It's not – but I didn't. I said – now, he went ahead and – and this is where, the social intelligence, I think, was really high, because I remember thinking – now, the last test, he went ahead and gave out to everybody through the library. If you want to go to the library, go to the library, and they'll give you the test. But this one, he didn't make available to everybody. So I remember thinking, maybe this test is different. maybe this one actually has some relevance. And he was one of the things that was so fun about this guy is there's like 10 questions on the test, and one or two of those questions, 10 to 20% of the class on the test, he would give multiple choice and it'd be a joke. And the only way you could know that joke is if you were in class. So it's his way of giving points to, giving points to attendance. So just an intriguing, very intriguing professor. I'm like, I wonder. So I went home, studied that over the holiday weekend, came back, aced the test, ended up with a B in the class. The test was not the exact same test as the previous year, but it wasn't very different at all. I mean, same problems, same thought processes. I learned a very valuable lesson in that, Melissa, in that you never give up. You always have 110%. There's lots of ways to skin that cat. You don't have to be the smartest one to go ahead and get through. And so if you lack smart, work hard. Develop relationships, develop connections, develop empathy, develop pity. I mean, whatever it takes, I've got to go ahead and do what I need to do to be able to break through that wall. So I think, Melissa, that's what I don't know if that answers your question. Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
So Teresa was going to, I think we're maybe out of time. I mean, I could go into it, but I don't know. We're 8 minutes beyond. But Teresa was going to ask about something about the family and prioritization, how do you prioritize multiple things equally? Or how do you handle prioritization? So we could, knock that one out now if you guys wanted to, or we could pick that up another week, totally up to you guys.
Am I the only one on?
No, everybody's still on. And Melissa's so excited that you all are on, because when you're not on and she is on, she's a whiny pants.
No, I just make fun of the fact that they're not on anymore.
So, Josh, Ginger, Ann, are you filled up for today? Any other questions you have?
I don't think they're on anymore.
No, they are. They are. Chris, any questions or anything else you'd like to accomplish today?
Okay, Tom, do.
They're all just messing with you, that's all. Teresa, anything else that you'd like to accomplish?
Yeah, they're all just messing with me, Dad.
It's kind of weird. It's showing that they're all speaking, except for Chris.
Well, I know Chris is off.
All right. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any other questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have a great day. Bye-bye.